from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion. And now we got the bass banging from here to Buckingham Palace. They're all moving. Hey Simon, working them up, turning them psycho. Everybody rock, let's bring the house down.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Oh, Tuesday. Yeah, happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday. Stepped outside this morning, and there was a... Jeffy, you noticed this? There was a cold snap in the air.
It smelled like football.
It smelled like football. Mm-hmm. Smelled like September, football, all of that. Obviously, we were off yesterday. Hopefully, you had a great Labor Day weekend, whatever you were up to. Today, this is great. We got the fight song roundup back. That's fantastic. We'll do that the next segment. Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Sadly, we have news to talk about with Chris Harrington. This is a time of year where you don't normally think that you're going to have a lot of Grizzlies news to talk about with Chris Harrington. But we do, alas, as Gigi Jackson, broken foot and fifth metatarsal. And so we will discuss that. But that was certainly, it feels like forever ago that we got that news. That was a bit of a bummer heading into the weekend, wasn't it, Jeffrey?
Indeed.
How big a bummer? One to ten.
I mean, there's... It's a tough one for the cult of Gigi.
Yeah, but as a Grizz, purely for the Grizz, if 10 is Ja goes down for the season.
Yep.
You know, and one is...
John Conchar.
John Conchar goes down for the season. Or Derrick Rose. Whatever. Yep. Right? Where is this one for you?
I'm willing to say like a four.
I think it's about a four.
Because
but like, I don't think it's higher than a four because they got so damn many.
Well, I mean, he was only going to be, at this point, he was only going to be the ninth or tenth guy.
I know. Now, it takes, it certainly delays, at this point, he's the ninth or tenth guy with the hope that he might become something more. Like, well, he can play himself into something dramatically more. But right now, you're like, okay, that's fine. I mean, it stinks, and the PTSD and all of that, like, whatever. I don't think it is a... I think the word is harbinger. I don't think it's a harbinger of things to come. I know people will feel like that, but like, oh, no. And then I literally saw some people asking, it's time to ask some hard questions about the staff over there, the...
Breaking that's been a big Grizz Twitter thing. Is that the medical staff? Yeah,
they should be doing more bone strengthening workouts for the fifth metatarsal strengthening workouts. Seems preposterous. Anyway, we'll talk to Chris Harrington about that. It's also the first week of the NFL.
Oh yeah, total football
it's
week.
It is all here. How was your week, Jeffrey?
It was fine.
We were in Denver,
so it was a lot of travel, whatnot.
Were you able to watch enough football?
Saturday.
This is the whole wedding thing. Wedding.
Yeah.
First football weekend. Who was this? Who committed this?
So it's one of my college buddies. So wedding was Sunday, which was helpful rather than Saturday. So Saturday, I would say I feel very confident about what happened on Saturday. In and out on the USC-LSU game, and then I feel confident about what happened last night.
Of course, the other thing that happened is, as I was watching the sensational, it was just, I thought the USC game was absolutely tremendous. USC-LSU game was tremendous.
Glad to hear it.
I got a text from someone saying, what the hell? How come I can't see this on DirecTV? And I felt a little smug. That I don't have DirecTV, and I'm like, well, besides that, it wouldn't be my issue.
Yeah, no, of course not.
And
oops.
And DirecTV is in a fight with Disney, and so ESPN not on DirecTV. And then last night I sit down to watch Florida State. Guess what? What the hell is going on? This is the worst thing ever. Like, TV is just A. You've got to pay more. You got to search everywhere, and then it seems like a freaking coin flip whether there'll either be streaming issues, right? Depending on what you have there, or that someone's going to be in a fight with someone and you're going to be blocked. And we, you know, I don't mean to make light of this phrase, but we're being held hostage.
No, to me, this is a new concept. And the first time I really remember it happening was the SEC Network, and when ESPN was going to charge as much as they were for the SEC Network, and all the providers kind of balked at it.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same thing. It's like, all right, that's fine. We'll hold you hostage. Like, we're taking our programming off, and you're
going to... See how your people feel about that.
Right. And so it became accepted that you could use customers as pawns.
Yeah. So there you are.
Which is absurd.
It is absurd. It is the world is supposed to be better. Technology, advancing technology, innovation, all of that. It feels like all this crap just makes it worse. Anyway.
Right. No, I mean, I to your point, like, there were a couple weeks ago, I was like, I remember specifically saying to my wife, like, I thought the future was supposed to be cooler than this.
Yeah, right. All right, onward we go. Again, we'll do the fight song roundup in the next segment when we will talk about a lot of these, the bigger games of the weekend. But I went to the Tigers game at the Liberty Hole on Saturday. And couple things to say about that. First of all, it looked good. It was, I mean, there was no question. I wrote a column about just sort of the weird vibe around this particular game. This game had a lot more intrigue when you're playing a crappy North Alabama team, just because people wanted to know what the experience would be like.
Sure.
And so I sort of positioned myself where I would see people and talk to them as they entered the bowl sort of for the first time and saw what there was to see. And invariably, the reaction was, this is weird. You know, this is weird. Weird, strange. Every variation of that word is what I got as I talked to people. They sort of like, and it was. Now, if you are on the side that has been knocked down, it honestly was less strange because you weren't looking at the hole. You were looking at a much more populated side of the stadium than you used to. And then behind you, they really made it look good. Like they put up a sort of a deck behind the few seats that remained, and it was clean and it was neat and it was fine. It was kind of cool. There's no bathrooms on that side. There's nothing on that side. So you got to walk to sort of the corners to get either concessions or bathrooms. But otherwise, looked great. And then from the side looking over at the hole, it was just kind of jarring, a little hilarious. But kind of cool. One thing it does do, it is sort of funny, it very prominently features the Mid-South Coliseum. Like, it's like the Mid-South Coliseum is laughing at you. It's like, you thought I was going to get knocked down? Ha! I'm still here.
This is what staying power looks like.
Bigger and bolder than ever. Mm-hmm. See a press box. Mm-hmm. See a side of the stadium. Here I am, like a giant-ass spaceship that just landed beautifully over there, is grinning away at everyone. So, and honestly, from a distance, we all know what the Mid-South Coliseum has become. So, you got a lot of knock it down stuff while you're at it. While you're at it, like, knock that down. A lot of comments while you're here. But honestly, it was just sort of hilarious that this Mid-South Coliseum that people have been wanting to knock down forever looks more prominent than forever, than ever. The press box was fine, nice. I had some quibbles. They don't have hot coffee anymore. Like, this is my own personal quibble. They used to have people. They used to have this is my own quibble. They used to have their own little place where they handed out popcorn and peanuts and people. Now, here's what they have for concessions up there. Not concessions. They got Whataburgers. And I like a Whataburger, but a cold Whataburger has some limited appeal. But they don't have any people, so they don't have hot coffee, or they don't have any, you know, whatever. But that's fine. That's my own little personal quibble. I like a little coffee any time of day. But they did a nice job on what it looks like, and so that was fine. It's not an embarrassment. It's not a Cadillac. It's fine. And then I thought, and I know Ed Scott tweeted he tweeted that he understood that there were issues with people getting here. Here's the tweet exactly. Tiger Nation, I want to thank you and all 25,849 fans for your unwavering support of Memphis football last night. We understand entering the stadium for our season opening win over North Alabama was longer than expected at certain gates. I'll be honest. I saw some of those complaints on social media, and I saw that this tweet, but I was walking around for a good, hour, whatever, before the game, hour and a half, and everything was flowing beautifully. It didn't feel like you were entering a construction site.
I just feel like this is
the problem is this is just the complaint.
It's every year.
You can't walk up 20 minutes before the game and expect to just walk in.
And on top of that, it's almost like everyone forgets like what it is to go to a football game.
There's a lot more people. And so, yes, I'll guarantee you this. If anyone tried to get into that game and let's say they were at the gate 45 minutes before kickoff, they did not have a problem. And so if you were there 15 minutes before kickoff or 20 minutes before kickoff, I guess you had a problem. Well, go in earlier. I mean, I hate to say it. I don't mean to be victim blaming here, but go in earlier.
I don't think it's victim blaming.
It's
made a choice. You didn't want to go in early.
There's 25,000 people, and there's a certain number they have to go through security, and you get what you get. I mean, I that's what I believe. Now, if someone, you know, tried to get in an hour earlier, and we're stuck in an hour line, then call me 445-0929. But I don't think that happened. I think it's a little bit like it's a little bit like parking. Everyone thinks they should be able to park right next door to wherever they go, right? Oh, the parking
without
is terrible.
Paying.
Right, without
being
park should be, and everyone thinks they should be able to walk up to an event 15 minutes before and just breeze right in. Well, that's not how it's going to work. And so, I don't know, like I thought the scene was nice. There was a breeze with the hole open. It's like a window open. It's like they opened a window in the whole stadium. It was I thought it was a beautiful scene. I spent a lot of time out in the stands. And I thought it was people were happy. Student section was vibrant. And it did make me think. It reminded me. Occasionally, I'll hear people complain about Memphis football. And I'll be honest, John Martin's guilty of this sometimes. Never going to be relevant, right? And here's the thing. It's not. If relevant means beating Georgia. You know what I mean? Or compete with Georgia or Alabama.
I'm not sure anyone. If that's the standard, I'm not sure anyone's relevant
for a national title. Yeah, most power five/four schools aren't either. But what it is, the joyous civic gathering place. It's one of the things. I mean, I love walking around Sundays at the golf tournament. I love walking around the first day of football through the tailgates, and people are so happy to be there. They're wearing their 901 stuff. It's just fun. It's just a fun gathering place. And it was a fun scene, and they won, obviously, convincingly. So I thought it was a good night at the Liberty Hall. And that was my fundamental takeaway. The crowd of 25,000, I'm not going to belabor it. I thought it was a little disappointing. I guess from this perspective, if you really think this is the most anticipated Memphis football season in forever, which I don't, it's never felt like that to me. I know the words that people say are that it is the most anticipated ever, but and you have this idea that they can get the playoff and that how do you measure vibes around town? The vibes have never felt like, to me, like they have reached the fever pitch that they were under Mike Norvell, God bless him, or at the peak of the, like, it didn't feel like we're there.
Yeah, but like, but even those vibes had to come
on. Catch on in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we entered the season with those vibes.
Some of them we did, but some of them were late developing vibes. Yes, late arriving vibes, like the crowd. So, and it's a little harder when the capacity of the place is 33,000. It's a little harder to lie and say there were 30,000 when, and they didn't say that. They said 25. I'll be honest, it looks slightly more than half filled to me. And so I bet there were 18,000 people there.
I mean, whenever you see 25, it's always a jackpot.
It's
announced,
sold.
Announced versus ticket scanned.
But it was fine. It was fine. And the people who were there were having a great time. I just thought it was a really good night. In terms of the football, who the hell knows? The defense, obviously, you know, looked great. Forced three turnovers. This is the same team that shut out North Alabama. Like, literally the last shutout Memphis ever had was against same North Alabama team 2 years ago. So I got no idea on the defensive side. The new guys looked good. They were like, whatever. But hard to tell. Offensively, they're going to miss Sutton Smith. And it's not just, so Sutton Smith injury, MRI, we'll get the results probably today. By all accounts, he's out for the year.
Yeah. MRI usually means you're waiting.
And when the coach says doesn't look good,
yeah,
right? It doesn't look good. He was on crutches in the sideline. And here's the thing. It's not just because of depth. He won the running back job. He was the starting running back. He got the first touches in the game. Like, he was, yes, they were going to split.
But he went on the field first.
Who went on the field first? Sutton Smith went on the field first. And Mario Anderson looked fine. Maybe he can look better than fine another time. But he was, you know, 10 rushes, 46 yards. So he looked fine. They've got, so now they're talking about Greg DeWosier. I Googled him over the after I got home to see what his, he's a guy who started out at Louisville. He's from Massachusetts originally. He started out at Louisville, didn't play a lot.
This is DeWosier?
DeWosier. DeWosier.
Greg DeWosier. I'm glad you learned that. DeWosier. I would have guessed for 10 minutes on that.
Yeah, Greg DeWosier.
Junior.
And then he went to UMass and actually explosive dude. He is an explosive dude, kick returner type, you know, never sort of the bell cow. Certainly didn't play much at Louisville and then not the bell cow at UMass. But so we'll see more of him. Whatever. Memphis gets the win 40-0. The problem is that their next two opponents, Troy and most notably Florida State, have not won a game. Troy losing to Nevada and Florida State in a... this was depressing to watch. As someone who roots for Mike Norvell and Florida State, and who wants good things for the University of Memphis, we could have argued last week about, well, how bad is this for Memphis that they've Florida State loses to Georgia Tech? And we're like, oh, it's not ideal. But still, you get on Florida State, you beat Florida State, still beating Florida State at Florida State. And if you lose to Florida State, it's still like it's still excusable, whatever else. Now that it's this Florida State team, this Florida State team that has Mike Norvell apologizing to the fan base, this Florida State team that gives up 263 yards rushing to Bill O'Brien and Boston College, not exactly a behemoth of a football program, this Florida State...
Well, I mean, the talking point on the broadcast was they couldn't believe when Bill O'Brien told the broadcast crew that, you know, this school hasn't won 8 games or more in 15 years. Yeah. And they're like, is that right?
Right.
Turns out it was.
So Florida State looks legitimately bad. What do we make of this, Jeffrey?
So I think the real question is whether or not Mike knew they were going to be bad. Because what has struck me is...
when he tried to get the hell out of there?
Yeah. I think what is becoming obvious to me is there are certain jobs that you can be.
Wouldn't you try to get the Alabama job anyway? Like, even if you thought you were going to be good at Florida State, you would try to get the Alabama job.
Yes, but it seemed like tried really hard.
He, in the end, got an 8-year contract extension.
For 31.
Worth more than $10 million a year.
Yep.
Mike Norvell, it is funny how quickly it turns. But Mike Norvell just trashed last night on social media. Mike Norvell is not going anywhere.
Well, obviously, the other most important thing, though, about that conversation is, well, what's the buyout?
Right.
We know what the announced number is. Now, it also seems highly likely that that buyout's going to be significantly high.
Oh, my God. And what does this do for Memphis? Is it now a quote-unquote must-win, or where are you here?
I'm in the other camp.
You can still lose it.
I'm in the camp of, I think everyone often like wants it to be like, well, you want it to be undefeated Memphis taking on undefeated Florida State.
You want it to be a team that you can beat.
100%.
Okay,
because all it matters is a resume line.
I know, but don't you want a team that you can beat that still looks better than it is?
Yeah, but
how's that resume line going to look if this is a legitimately bad Florida State team and you lose to them? If this is a bad Florida State team and you lose to them...
I mean, it's still going to come down to the exact same thing that it was going to come down to before, which is, what's Boise State doing? Has anyone else emerged? And one thing that I think was encouraging for me this weekend is, shout out to our boy Odom out of UNLV. Like, that looks like a credible threat to Boise.
That does. And Boise, although maybe they have the best running back in the country, they didn't...
They had
their hands full as well. Yeah, I'll say this. If Memphis runs the table, but loses to Florida State by 10. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's just say. Yes or no? And I know the answer is depends what everybody else does, but I'm not gonna.
Right, you're not making that an option.
Yes or no, will they get into the playoff?
Runs the table, FSU's the only loss.
FSU's the only loss, I think so too.
I'd bet yes.
So I don't think it has become a quote unquote must. I mean, obviously it diminishes.
It's a data point. It's an opportunity.
And people will have to it will absolutely get in the way of the excitement. People will think Memphis is a fraud. If all Memphis does is win every game and then lose to Florida State and it's this Florida State team, and Memphis gets in the playoff, people think Memphis is a fraud getting in the playoff. You won't be able to talk. It makes it much harder to talk yourself into it around the country. But the odds are other teams are going to lose games.
Yeah, I mean,
the odds are other teams are going to lose games.
The other problem is, like, they're not going to be as big of a fraud as Liberty was last year.
Yeah, but see, Liberty, you can at least talk yourself into it. You couldn't because you actually watched them.
And I was like, this team stinks.
If you lose to a... It just looks bad when... You play one team from a Power Four conference, and it turns out to be a mediocre ass team, and you lose, and all the other
right. But like, also remember this: like the rest of the season has to play out. When Michigan lost to App State in the the upset of the millennium, they also turned right around the next week and lost in a bad game to Oregon. They stabilized. They end up going 9-3. Like if Florida State. Like, because there was a reason we, on Jeff's bets, we took Boston College last night.
Right.
Like, that's a tough turnaround. You go and you lose a heartbreaker in Ireland. Right. You come right back around. They're playing their first game of the year. They were jacked up. You could tell right from the get-go, like, oh.
There's a different energy level here between those two teams.
So, do they stabilize?
I'll make this somewhat more depressing point. Again. Who the hell knows from week one, right? Who knows what Tennessee winning 69-3, what Ole Miss winning 76-0, what Arkansas winning 70-0,
right. We have
Mississippi
no context.
State winning 56-7. Who knows what any of that ultimately will mean, and who knows what Memphis winning 40-0 will mean. Memphis, last time they beat North Alabama 59-0, they lost the next week. So who knows? Just eyeball... That didn't look like a Memphis team that's going to run the table. If I'm being completely honest, like again, who the hell knows? They can. It's week one.
I'll walk down. They were not scary.
They were not scary good on offense.
And that's the question: how much of it last night was being basic, or what, Saturday night? How much of that is being basic vanilla? But I did not get the sense of like that's a team that's going to be explosive.
That's the thing. And everyone's talking about this is the everyone's back, explosive, and then you lose, honestly, one of your most explosive players in Sutton Smith. Honestly, I hope I'm wrong. That looked to me like a three-loss Memphis team.
The other problem is, that's what it looks like.
Again, who knows?
Yeah, the other problem, though, that we have is I don't know what the context of the league is anymore.
Of course.
I do agree with you. If we're talking about...
It just wasn't... terrifying at all. It wasn't, my God, they look great.
Before we have, conference CUSAAC,
right.
that looked like, all right, that team's going to be 8-4, 9-3. But
we don't know what this league looks
correct.
Like. I agree with that completely. Real quick, we're going to get the fight song roundup next. Let's go around the other local games that we just mentioned. Jackson Dart certainly had a nice day. Ole Miss wins 76-0 over Furman, outgains Furman by 600 yards. Tennessee, 69-3. Nico looked tremendous. Three touchdowns. Dylan Sampson looked good as well. Arkansas, horrible Arkansas Pine Bluff team, but what the hell? They win 70-0.
Big win in Jackson.
Big game this week. You know who else has a really sneaky, tough game? Arizona State routes Wyoming.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State wins 56-7 over Eastern Kentucky. Anything stand out from you from any of those tilts?
I think Nico looked exactly the way, if you're a Tennessee fan, you would hope Nico looked. It was clean for the most part and just smooth. And, yeah, it's UT Chattanooga. We all get that. I mean, it's one of those things with like Ole Miss where there's, I think there's always going to be a dialogue about Ole Miss of, are they going to be good? Are they going to be really good? Are they going to be like this fraudulent good?
I think really people believe this year that they're really good. And here's the other thing. I think there's legit excitement over Ole Miss. Legit excitement over their national prospects because they seem like they're real up front for the first time.
Whether or not it's fake or not, Jeff, it was 73-0 before the end of the third quarter.
Right.
That's tough to do on air.
They could have been 100-0.
Yes.
Very clearly. I think there's legit excitement. There's obviously legit excitement about Tennessee when you have a quarterback,
he looked different. He looked like
you know who else? Nebraska. Same thing. Freshman
Dylan
quarterback.
Dylan Raiola definitely did.
Yeah. Look.
You're like,
really, yeah.
That's something they haven't had.
Right. And so when you get that young quarterback who comes in and
honestly, to me, is the biggest story of, you know, I was wrong about Miami and Florida. I had the under. But you know why I think I was wrong? Cam Ward was a stud. He had the bad pick at the beginning, and then after that, it was just like watching, it was like going through practice.
All right, we're going to do the Fight Song Roundup coming up next. Can't wait to do that. It's been a long time. Then we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I didn't even mention it because I didn't know it was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was still Monday. My profound apologies to Mr. Charles Fishman. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We have a loaded show. I knew it. It just didn't occur to me it was Tuesday. But it is. And so we got a busy show with Fight Song Roundup, then Chris Harrington, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Before that, I will tell you, if you are shopping for a tractor, Mid-South Ag Equipment is the place to go, right down there on Highway 302 in Byhalia. They got Case IH tractors. Now, there's a smaller tractor, so it's not like, you know, it's not like you're doing 1,000 acres of soy over in Arkansas or something. This is if you got a big garden, a big piece of land, you're bush hogging. You got a tractor, man. Case IH tractor. Forget green. Go big red. 0% financing right now on tractors in stock at Mid-South Ag Equipment, Highway 302 in Byhalia. We'll do the Fight Song Roundup when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you're selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. That's my advice. Ashley was listening to this very show. Heard me talking about it. Maybe she's like, how good could he be? You know, a little bit. Could he really be this great? A little skeptical, honestly. Gives him a call, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Josh Hysaw sells her house for the full asking price takes less than a week. Here's the thing. Josh will make you instant cash offer at full market value for your home. Josh will tell you how much your house is worth for free. Just pop on over to the website, put in your address. You'll see Josh offers flexible fees, no upfront cost, and I'll let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. It's Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Call him today, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Jeffrey, let's do the fight song roundup.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. Cause I still got a lot of fight left in me.
Well, Jeffrey, still pretty good.
Still really good at football.
Still really good at football. Georgia destroys Clemson. Absolutely destroys Clemson. Such that when the game was over, the conversation was not about Georgia. The conversation was about Clemson. And I saw someone making the argument that that the no portal, no transfers, whatever, is a red herring. No, it's not. Listen, when you... I understand, like, Georgia, listen, Georgia had players who transferred, who were scoring touchdowns against Clemson.
Yeah.
But when you just cut off the ability to get experienced, talented, proven college football players, and I look around the country, some of them seem pretty good, Jeffrey. Like, there's a dude in Miami, seemed pretty good. Mm-hmm. Hell, there's a dude in Nashville, seemed pretty good.
He was available.
And you just decide, never mind. The whole way that everybody else is getting good, I don't need to even use that. It's not a red herring. It's stubbornness. It's stupid. And they're still, listen, Clemson's still a good football team. Still, it's, you know, whatever. They're a good defensive football team. And for a while, it was like, oh, this could be, they're hanging right in there. And then it gets demoralizing. Georgia opens it up. Clemson didn't have a 200 yards offense.
I think
offensive coordinator from TCU who lights it up and does nothing. Did not have 200 yards offense.
I mean, I think they had two plays in plus territory in the first half.
It was embarrassing.
I mean, I guess what I would say, I'd push back a little bit on the whole portal thing. The reason why Georgia dominated them in that fashion, yes, by the way, they take portal guys too, but it's because Clemson is no longer recruiting at the high school level like they did even 10 years ago. It's a lot. It's more than
thing. There's a lot of things. It's clearly more than one thing.
Correct.
It's more than one thing. A, like they had two, whatever you think of Deshaun, they had two quarterbacks who were, you know, franchise dudes, right?
First rounders.
Coordinators.
Yes.
You know, you lose your defensive coordinator who's like an all-timer. And so there's more changes than... Plus, it's just hard to maintain. I was talking this with Gabe. It reminds me a little bit of a TV show. You know, TV show can get a good 5-year run or a 6-year run, but after a while, you know, it's hard to be the best show every single year. Right?
Yeah, it's hard to stay hungry.
And it's hard to at Clemson as well. But I don't think it's nothing.
I agree.
If you could add, someone said, any one transfer going to change that result? Of course not. Would five transfers have maybe put a touchdown on the board?
Maybe.
You know, like, or something, or two touchdowns on the board? Could it have been a 9-point game instead? Yes. Stupid.
I mean, to me, the key is also they're a program that was built for the under the table era.
They cannot. You have to adjust.
Yes. Well, it's hard to make up rich people.
And Georgia looks tremendous.
Oh,
all right, next. Always. Listen, it's always good to have fights on Roundup back. On the first Monday, Tuesday of the Fight Song Roundup in 2024.
Playing the greatest and most influential fight song of all time.
The second best fight song in the land. That makes this Tuesday.
By the way, you better start looking for opportunities to play Michigan because I'm not sure it's there.
Better. We can play Notre Dame every single week straight through the playoff now. That's what everyone's doing now. They're just looking at the schedule saying, where's the loss? Notre Dame goes to Texas A&M and
wins 23-13. Riley Leonard, he could get broken the way they use him, and he wasn't exactly.
He's got some jaw in him. He's got some every time that like he gets nicked in the ankle, like he milks it.
Then he's quoting Bible verses after the game. Mm-hmm. That'll endear himself to the faithful. 158 yards passing, 63 rushing. The key here is they rushed for 198. They rushed
five
for 198
yards. 5.8 a carry.
Yeah, like and in the end, that very young offensive line, which people thought was going to get overwhelmed, it felt like by the second half they were taking control. They did not early, but like by the end, they were. That was big boy. That was. Another Notre Dame team might have lost that game. They certainly lost the equivalent game last year to Ohio State. Now, I'm not saying Texas A&M is Ohio State, but that's an impressive win. And right now, you would bet that they will be in the playoff.
Yes. My note for this was the big boy win of the week, where, like, yeah, it wasn't overwhelming, but it was just mature. Like, they were patient the entire second half. Like, they never panicked, and they just kind of leaned on A&M, and they let A&M just kind of make all the mistakes. And boy, they made Connor Wegman look like a high school player.
Remember that mock draft? Oh, just like a week ago.
Uh-huh.
Less than a week ago. There's some mock draft somewhere. We were saying the other quarterback was going to sneak into the first round in the coming draft is Connor Wegman.
Uh-uh. Where I was wrong the most all week.
Connor Wegman?
Uh-huh. Because I didn't think, like,
now, mind you.
He's going up against
Notre Dame's
defense.
Defensive backfield
awesome defense.
In particular is absolutely elite.
100%. He still looked like a deer in the headlights.
And the other thing about Notre Dame is they looked like, you know, sometimes we think SEC is going to get all the great athletes. Can you?
No, they looked, on they defense, looked they as, looked absolutely the part.
Yeah, yeah. Really
they
impressive.
They looked like Michigan's defense last year.
Really impressive from Notre Dame. All right, next. I don't think we play the U a lot, Jeffrey. But then again, Cam Ward hasn't suited up for the U a lot. Miami, listen, be honest. One of it's been an interesting week. It was a really, first of all, fun weekend.
Yes, totally agree.
It was like from the first Colorado game last Thursday night straight through. Well, last night less fun, but still straight through. Interesting, fun, compelling. Seems to be like college football is still interesting, even though you pay the players. Some people thought that would ruin it. Hell of a lot of fun. But one of the phenomena was, I don't know if there's, is it more notable the teams that are happy or the teams that are sad? You know what I mean? There's been some teams that are really like, you got Florida is absolutely in the dumps. You got LSU losing another freaking home opener. They're absolutely in the dumps. You got Florida
opener.
Right.
They weren't at home.
Okay.
They were in Vegas.
Florida State. Did I say home opener?
Yeah.
Did I say home opener? Yeah, in Vegas. Florida State. Like, there was a lot of Virginia Tech.
Florida State has lost two games before we've even had a second poll come out.
Which is easier, to put together the top five? Or the most happiest fan bases, or the five most miserable fan bases. And what's more notable here? Miami, which is more notable? The Miami perspective or the Florida perspective?
So I would argue most weeks it's a lot easier to come up with the list of who's miserable. I actually thought, what I thought was fun about this weekend was
Clemson's miserable.
I also came in having higher opinions, or I left the week having higher opinions than teams I came in with.
Miami, USC, Notre Dame, three of them.
Correct. Like, everyone's all focused on Clemson and whatnot.
Penn State's another one.
Yes, Penn State absolutely looked the part.
Quarterback looked good, offensive coordinator.
USC got 100%. Some stops.
No, USC looked like a totally different team.
Like,
again, big boy.
Right? And Notre Dame looked more than just like, like, we know what a good Notre Dame team looks like, which is like a fringe playoff team. Whatnot. I was like, oh, I can envision a world where that team's really good. Ohio State's still going to be there. Like, I came away feeling like we have more teams that have entered the chat, if you will.
I think that seems fair. Oh, well, let's put it this way. If you put together a 12-team playoff with a
a lot of these teams would be interesting.
Yes.
You know, like, you know what
the
I mean?
Games would be
the games that, yeah, the, at the back half of the bottom 10, they go, oh, well, what could Penn State do? What could USC do? You know, whatever. You don't expect them to win the Big Ten. Yeah, that'll still be Ohio State. But USC, if they're in the playoff, you're like, well, I'll watch that kid sling it around.
100%.
Watch those receivers. You did have, in the wake of this one, you had Dan Mullen retweeting a guy who pointed.
Well, it's Matthew Berry. It's his co-host. It's his co-host in like college football.
Matt Berry tweets: the Florida coach that got fired went to 3 consecutive New Year's 6 games in his first 3 years and was let go in his 4th season.
Mm-hmm.
And that coach Dan Mullen retweets that.
Oops.
There you go. It was Cam Ward looked thrilling. 26-35, 385 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Billy Napier, just like the hottest seat, just got hotter. He's got the $26 million buyout. That makes it kind of comfortable. He also, and this will be interesting.
He has one play.
That's what I'm going to say. He's got a quarterback.
It's DJ Lagway. He's got to play him the roster.
He's got to play DJ Lagway.
That's it.
Because if he's awesome, and to lose Billy Napier would mean you lose Lagway.
Although, does it? In this era,
it doesn't.
In this era, doesn't.
I was listening to the.
That will be the refrain from the Billy Napier camp.
Crowd. I was listening to the Wetzel podcast yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they're literally only talking about Lane Kiffin. I mean, of course, they were this summer too, but they're literally talking about. Looks like Lane Kiffin's going to Florida, which sucks if you're an Ole Miss fan. Enjoy the year. You should be able to enjoy the year.
It's the Kiffin life cycle.
It's the Kiffin life cycle. Anyway, do you believe in Miami?
Yes.
Very clearly you believe in them as the most, at this point, having seen what we've seen from Florida State, having seen what we've seen from Clemson, Miami looks like the best team in the ACC.
And by a wide margin.
And it wasn't just Cam Ward either.
No, defensively, they just completely stifled Florida.
Yeah.
Florida couldn't move the ball at all. I mean, other than one 71-yard run, I think they have like 150 yards of offense. Like, it... To me, the team that changed my opinion the most after week one was Miami.
All right, who's next? Once again, another big boy win, USC. We're playing some of the classic fight songs here today. USC.
It's good to see these little upstarts getting back in it.
Goes to, the underdogs.
Uh-huh.
Goes to LSU and wins.
Goes to Allegiant Stadium and beats LSU.
Yes, yeah, right. And that was a hell of a fun game to watch. Brian Kelly is pounding the table afterwards. He keeps saying it was not, of course, it was not at LSU. It was not at Baton Rouge. It was, people always, like, have to, whatever reason, people say Baton Rouge. They can't just say it.
They
got to throw in the pretend ridiculous fake accent. Brian Kelly's mad, losing 3 straight open. And by the way, team, I can see why he's mad. They should have won that game. They had every chance to win that game.
Yeah, to me, what this game really boiled down to is what a lot of college football games boil down to. They got field goals, and SC got touchdowns.
Like, what's
to me,
funny
like,
is, of course,
that was a huge
you look early. They went for the touchdown early, and they could have used a field goal.
Well, I mean, the same thing happened to them last year. If you think back to the Florida State game last year, they got it down to, like, the 2, and they kept going and trying to score. And, like, I get it. But, I mean, to me, like, the key difference in this one is...
And the penalties. Penalties bit him in the ass. There's no question. Penalties bit him in the ass several times.
But Miller Moss made no mistakes.
And Miller Moss was awesome.
No mistakes.
He was awesome. And those receivers? Holy smokes. Those receivers were awesome. That catch by Marvin Hudson, the one the targeting call, all of that. The receivers were awesome. Miller Moss was awesome. It was interesting, the touchdown pass into the corner of the end zone, which was just a perfectly thrown ball. He actually went to the wrong guy there.
Yeah, no, but there's no defense for that.
Yeah, there's no defense for a perfectly thrown ball right over the. But like the other dude was wide open in the middle of the field. But he was electric, absolutely electric. You lose a Heisman Trophy winner, and honestly, both of them. They got the two teams that have lost Heisman Trophy winners, and whatever you think about those teams going forward, you're not worried about the quarterback. Nussmeier was good. Miller Moss was just better.
Yeah, Nussmeier did put. I felt like Nussmeier put the ball in jeopardy more than Moss did.
That's fine. 29 of 38, 304 yards.
I'm not worried about LSU's offense.
No.
I mean, although I guess maybe I should be. They scored 20 points.
What's next? Wait. This can't be.
But it is.
It can't be.
I should have trusted my gut.
It is interesting. When you made the pick of Virginia Tech on principle, you even then said...
This is not what Vanderbilt was last year. Diego Pavia is a legitimately fun quarterback.
And for those who don't know, this is a guy who has the competitive spirit, the stones,
literally,
when he was at New Mexico State, to walk onto his arch-rival's field and urinate on the logo.
Loved it.
That's what this guy is made of.
And, literal stones.
He will not be shaken. Even as Vandy takes the 17-point lead, surrenders the 17-point lead, but then wins it in OT.
Misses the kick to win the game.
Yeah, oh yeah, misses the kick to win the game, too.
That could have been like an easy one. We were like, oh man, not our day.
And not our day.
No, they kept going.
The two stats I read, could these things both be true? First non-conference win over a Power 5 under Charlie Lee.
Yeah.
That's possible?
Yeah. Not Charlie Lee.
I'm sorry.
Charlie Lee is the
Charlie Lee's
the pitcher.
Yes. Is the pitcher.
Clark Lee.
And everything for me, my brain just goes to the 70s.
70s baseball.
You know,
yeah.
And 70s anything.
Yeah.
And so, Clark Lee. First power conference win since 2022. Is that possible too? Mm-hmm. They play Notre Dame and Duke. I mean, they play Northwestern all the time and Duke all the time. And
yeah,
they've been a bad run.
They won a conference game. They haven't won a conference game in 2 years.
Well, that would yes. So first win over a power conference team since 2022. That's great though. And by the way, if you look at the schedule, they're going to be 3-0. They're going to be 3-0.
They are. I'm telling you, with Pavia, now here's the problem with Pavia. Whoo, boy, I don't know how many games you can do to that. 26 carries. And my guy plays with reckless abandon.
He does play with reckless abandon.
He plays as if there is no tomorrow.
It is interesting. There's teams that said, we're fine at quarterback. And then there's teams that said, we got to go get a new quarterback. Miami said, we got to go get a new quarterback. Vandy said we got to get a new quarterback. Now Penn State said we're fine at quarterback, and he looked good. In fact, that's the one game that we're not celebrating or blowing up.
Yeah,
that I thought was notable because they really took care of West Virginia, and for a team that couldn't throw down the field at all last year, they looked good throwing the ball.
No, I agree with you on that. That was also that weird game because they had such long weather delay. Like, you found yourself, like, okay, you were impressed. Like, you were keeping tabs on that as the Georgia game was going, and you were impressed, and then you just didn't see the game for, like, 2 hours. And by the time you saw it again, you're like, oh, yeah.
All right, I guess we got to blow someone up. And there are lots of contenders here. You know, we could blow up Clemson. We could blow up Florida. But I think there's one that, sadly, we could blow up Virginia Tech. I think there's one.
I was fine celebrating those teams, though, the flip side of it.
I think there is one that... goes Florida State. In the portal universe, Jeffrey, things can turn fast.
Woo, boy.
And so Memphis is now faced with a situation where they got Troy. By the way, early game, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Next week. And then they got a Florida State team that I guess the good news is they look beatable, right?
Yeah, it does.
What do you think the line would be right now, Florida State, Memphis?
I still think it'd be higher than people think. I think it'd still be like somewhere between...
It would be double digits, certainly.
Yeah, I was somewhere between 10 and 13 and a half. Because I think before the season, it probably would have been 17-ish, and they're going to keep getting downgraded probably. I still think they'll be over two scores.
One of the... One of the other highlights of the weekend, I did just want to make note of this. I at the end of the game Saturday, I was walking down to the press area, and I went past the Corky's. You know, I just love food. Like there were Pronto Pups. Some people were complaining because I think they were $11 or something for a big ass Pronto Pup.
You'd have been so proud of me. We went to the baseball game on Friday night, and literally all I did was walk around the stadium doing ballpark food, like reviewing everything. Like, it was all I did was eat.
And there was someone who'd never been to a Memphis game before, and he was just marveling over the Coletta's pizza. He was like, "That pizza looks great. It smells great." I didn't have a slice. I don't know if it was great, but whatever. And then he got Corky's barbecue. But anyway, so I'm walking out of the press box down to the interview room, and they're, you know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old guys who are working at the Corky's counter. They're giving away barbecue sandwiches. I swear to God, you're like, anyone want a sandwich? Want a sandwich? People are streaming out. They're giving away sandwiches. I think they expected more people to be there, honestly, right? So that's a sign that maybe they didn't get as many, whatever. I walk up because who am I to turn down a sandwich?
Absolutely. It's insulting.
They wanted to hand me six. They wanted to hand me six. How many do you think I took?
Two.
You're exactly right. We've been together for a long time. And I ate one when I got home. It's still warm. Put it in the backpack. And then I ate another one next morning for breakfast. Breakfast of champions. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And we are thrilled for it. We got the NFL week one as well. But we have a busy second hour. We haven't talked at all about the G.G. Jackson injury. We'll do that with Chris Harrington coming up. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday, because it's a Tuesday. It feels like a Monday, but it's still a Tuesday. So we'll do that in the second hour as well. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
All right, back on the Jeff Hawkins Show. Let's do this, Chris Harrington.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Hawkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is Every Day I Have the Blues by the late, great Memphis Slim. Born on this day in 1915.
All right, we're going to get to G.G. Jackson news here in a minute. A couple of things first, though. First of all, I see on Twitter that you were at a coffee place there in St. Paul, and they had a summer special that was called the Graceland, featuring banana sauce, peanut butter, honey, and espresso, honey, espresso, and milk, 16-ounce iced for a mere $7, and you got it. How was it?
It was a little too sweet for me. I like those flavors. I like peanut butter-based stuff a lot. It's a little too sweet for me, but I wanted to, acknowledge the Memphis connection and, support that. So I did get that. It wasn't actually the only unexpected Memphis music connection I had at this place.
What else?
So they have, I've never been there before. It's a pretty cool place. They have this back room that's like some kind of performance space. And I gather maybe they do this every Sunday, but there were a bunch of people back there with like banjos and acoustic guitars and violins, just like having a little hoot nanny or whatever, just playing stuff. And one of the songs they played was an old Memphis junk band song, Stealin' Stealin'. So that was cool.
So, and then the other thing before I get to GGX, and I deciding to expand my my film repertoire, I was casting around for something to watch this weekend, and I was trying to remember what Western you said you like a lot. And I somehow settled on Rio Bravo, and I watched it. Is that the one that you like particularly? Do you like Rio Bravo?
That's my favorite. That's my favorite movie. I would almost put Western in like quotes there.
Right.
It's more of a studio comedy where people wear cowboy hats. But Rio Bravo has a cult of people who love it dearly, and I am in that cult.
I forgot who it was. I was reading about it. Someone said
Quentin Tarantino is a big Rio Bravo guy.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino was said that if he went on a date and someone didn't like Rio Bravo, it wouldn't work out, right? Like it couldn't work out. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, there is a back and forth. What's the relationship between High Noon and Rio Bravo?
So High Noon is a Western, Fred Zinnemann directed, stars Gary Cooper. Generally not held in higher esteem, like critically, but more popularly, like back when they did that American, AFI list or whatever, like when they did the show, like Bill Clinton was on it talking about High Noon or whatever, which is on the list. So High Noon, the guy who directed Rio Bravo went and saw High Noon and hated it. And he made Rio Bravo as kind of an answer movie to it. I don't think that's the way, I think very few people have watched it in that context. It was sort of more of a private thing for Howard Hawks. But High Noon is a movie about a sheriff in an old West town, played by Gary Cooper, who is holding a prisoner, and people are coming to break out the prisoner, and he is overmatched, and he goes around, the train's going to come at High Noon the next day, and there's going to be this showdown. And so he spends the day going around the town asking for help, and he does not get it. I think High Noon was at the time was sort of like a analogy for like the Red Scare witch hunt kind of stuff. I don't think that's how Howard Hawks took it. He watched it and he hated it because he had a sort of an optimistic view of humanity, and he thought it was unbecoming of the sheriff and unprofessional of the sheriff to ask for help. And he also hated the idea that he didn't get any help. He didn't think that's the way people would react. So Rio Bravo is the inverse.
And so everyone is pitching
in a similar situation who refuses to ask for help, but he gets it anyway.
Oh, so Stumpy helps him, and
what is key to
Colorado?
Rio Bravo is
Colorado. Who, Colorado helps
what is him. Key to Rio Bravo is who he gets the help from. There's a scene early in the movie where he's talking to this cattle guy who's passing through, an old friend of his, like Ward Bond. And Ward Bond assesses his situation and says, "An old cripple and a drunk, is that all you got?" And John Wayne's character just says, matter-of-factly, "That's what I got." And I think there's a subtext to Rio Bravo that is, everyone has value, everyone has someone to pitch in. And so the help he gets is not traditional Western heroes. It's the town drunk and the old town cripple, and it's a teenager, and it's a woman of ill repute, and it's the Mexican couple who run the hotel. It's all the people who will be marginalized, who are not your traditional Western heroes, and they are the people who come to the rescue in this movie.
So, did you say it's a comedy with cowboy hats? Is that what you said?
Yeah, basically.
Is it a comedy?
I think it's totally a comedy. John Wayne and Walter Brennan, just like,
I did laugh at some Walter Brennan. Walter Brennan, it turns out, virulent John Bircher, like right-wing lunatic in real life. Like, is a Red Scare dude with a basement full of canned goods in real life. I was Googling all these people afterwards. I did have moments when I laughed. It was, so what struck me, I enjoyed it. Like, it's a very leisurely movie. It's like two and a half hours.
That is also the point, and that is the attraction that people have to it, Tarantino and myself included. It's a hangout movie. And one of the things about Hawks is, he called it business. He liked to put a lot of business in his movies. He wasn't about, like, making sure everything, like, advanced the plot and all this nonsense. It was you've got Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson in a movie. Let's have a scene where they just sit around the jailhouse and sing all night.
And they did two songs in the middle, two thirds of the way through the movie. There's a line
by the British critic David Thompson that I love, because he's like me, a big Howard Hawks aficionado. And he says, it is the principle of Howard Hawks movies that a man is more expressive rolling a cigarette than saving the world. And that's the vibe of Howard Hawks movies.
So, well, it was incredibly leisurely. First of all, it's just fun to go back and see Dean Martin and to see, I mean, Angie Dickinson, stunning woman, like just beautiful. I'm not familiar with young, I think
she might be 19 years old in that movie.
Just like, yeah, it's and Dean Martin and I'm sorry, who's Colorado again?
Ricky Nelson.
So like it's just fun seeing
Ozzie and Harriet at the time.
I just wonder, is it now? I think of I think movies. Now they just pick you up by the scruff of the neck and whip you along till the end to deposit you exhausted. Not all, but it feels like that's
100%.
Is this characteristic of movies of that age? In other words, as our attention span has decreased, it's not just that was a particularly leisure movie, although it was.
No, I think Hawks was particularly about, like, let's play around. Let's make good scenes. His movie was about scenes. Let's maximize every scene. And so the scene where Wayne comes in to the saloon and there's, you know, yeah, you dig the coin out of the spittoon and there's blood dropping down into the beer. Or the scene where the flower pot comes out of the window, the stocking dropping down from the upper little stuff like that. He was about maximizing the scene. So I think Hawks is particularly like that. But I think generally speaking, yes, movies are less patient and expect less of the viewers these days.
Well, now you think of like, you contrast that to a Bourne Identity movie, you know, and you're like, or right, whatever. You're just like one of the Jason Bourne, and you're like, whoa, like, you know. I watched it in probably five different sittings, you know. I obviously don't have the patience either anymore. So there you go. Anyway, well, okay, that was fun.
I could be here all week, like 2 hours every day all week, talking about Rio Robbins.
Gigi Jackson. We have to talk about Gigi Jackson. Broke the fifth metatarsal of his foot. I asked Jeffrey, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, 10 being Ja out for the season, 1 being Derrick Rose out for the season, where's this in terms of grizzly worry?
I think, you know, it's certainly not welcome news, but I would say at the moment, it's probably a bigger thing. It's a bigger negative thing for Gigi Jackson than for the Grizzlies. Mm. Now, that could change if there are other injuries because of the depth issues of the team. But I think, you know, going into the season, Gigi Jackson was going to be like the 9th, 10th man in a 9 or 10 man rotation. And I think, you know, this is an opportunity for someone, either A, they could just, you know, slim down the rotation. But it's also an opportunity for a Jake LaRavia, John Conchar, Scottie Pippen, somebody like that. I think, you know, if this is the only injury they have, I don't think it's a big deal for the Grizzlies. And I don't think he'll miss more than, you know, maybe a month. But I think for Gigi Jackson, you know, age 19 or soon to be 20, hasn't really had a real training camp with the real players on the team and is trying to, like, step into a different kind of role, more of a complimentary role. I do think it's a bummer for him, but I think, you know, this seems like the kind of injury you get over and then it's in the past tense, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's better that it happened, you know, in late August than in late October, certainly.
What do we think the timing is here?
Well, we don't know. They haven't said. I mean, Jeff Stotts, who's like the most probably respected public-facing sports injury guy, he says that on average, when this injury happens in season, players miss 42 games, which is like half the season. But this didn't happen in season. This happened 2 months before the season starts. And so, you know, if it's a 3-month injury, you're missing like a month of the season at this point.
And in terms of who benefits, is it LaRavia? Is it Santi Aldama? Is it, I mean, you know, we don't know.
Well, Santi Aldama, I think, was someone in danger of, like, you know, being caught from behind a little bit for minutes. But I think in terms of opening up an opportunity, I think Santi was going to be in the rotation. as you sketch it out. I think LaRavia was like the, you know, 11th man in a 10-man rotation. And he's basically the same position, same size, same stuff as Gigi Jackson. So I think Jake LaRavia is in line to step into a real rotation role to start the season. Now, he has to play well in training camp and preseason and earn that. But I think he is in line for that if he can earn it.
And the risk, obviously, as you mentioned previously, is if you lose another wing now, then all of a sudden yep. you're like, what the hell? Like, then you may be using
an empty
roster spot.
Well, they're in a situation where,
right?
you know, barring some change, they're probably going to go into the season with 14 players on the 50-man roster. And now one of those is unavailable, Gigi Jackson. And another one, Derrick Rose hard to have faith that he's going to play that much. So now you're down to 12. Now, what they did do is they filled all three of their two-way roles with players who were designed to help them this season. Even Cam Spencer, a late second-round pick, is not like a long-term project. He's a John Conchar type. It's about, can you prove you can play at different levels? It's not about, what are you going to develop into over 3 years or whatever, you know? So I think Pippen, Jay Huff, and Cam Spencer are all in position to step in and give them minutes.
And this is obviously, I hate to even bring it up. Some people on social media are talking about the run of bad health as if it's some...
None of these things are connected to each other, at least there's no reason to believe they are. Right?
What are you going to do? If they have fifth metatarsal strengthening exercises, they don't do enough of those. It doesn't seem like it is anything. It is interesting, though. Like, all that stuff that you said... The reasons it's bad for Gigi Jackson, you want him to get acclimated, a new role, whatever. Like, those are also reasons the Grizzlies would like that for him for their own sake, too. Like, it obviously it's not great for the Grizzlies either. All right, Chris, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'll take your next review. We can consider another film recommendation another day. Thank you.
I'll give you something shorter next time.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. It's Chris Harrington from the Daily Metro. I started watching it Friday and finished up watching it Sunday. Like, that was, you know, it was when I had an extra half an hour here or there, right. I would pop in. It just was not. But the great thing is for me, I don't have the stomach to watch a lot of incredibly stressful modern dramas and movies. Too much tension for me. Not too much tension here. You know, it was highly leisurely. So there you go. And by the way, I was... talking about the food available at the Liberty Bowl, and someone tweeted me because I didn't mention this, and I wasn't trying to be exhaustive. I also, by the way, I really had the experience. I got shaved ice at the Liberty Bowl. I opened up my wallet and bought a shaved ice at the Liberty Bowl. It was hot, and that was delicious. But someone said I got to do Uncle Lou's, and you think about it. We're pretty deep in barbecue places and pretty deep in chicken places. Like, when you can go, whatever you, if you are a Corky's Uncle Lou's guy, or if you're a, you know, barbecue shop Gus's guy, whatever else, the fact that you've got Corky's and Uncle Lou's and like Coletta's, those are all good local places at the stadium. And so maybe next time I'll try Uncle Lou's. They weren't handing out free Uncle Lou's. That's the difference. They were handing out free Corky's. So I ate the Corky's. I'm a man of principle, just like you are, Jeffrey. It's just we have sometimes different principles. Mm-hmm. All right, we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. Is there anything, before we get to him, is there anything else in the sports world that you thought we should comment upon? Obviously, Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, I was glad to see him finally.
Finally.
Cash a check.
Ricky Pearsall shot.
So I had no idea this happened until I got home yesterday and was scrolling through.
By the time you got home, he'd already been dismissed from the hospital. He'd already been checked out. But he was shot downtown San Francisco. So that wasn't great. Women's soccer, Memphis women's soccer continues to roll. 4-2 win over Iowa State. And Joey Chestnut, mm-hmm. You recall that Joey Chestnut... he couldn't participate in the Nathan's hot dog for July 4th hot yes. dog eating because he was doing this Netflix thing mm-hmm. against Kobayashi. And Chestnut, I can't even get my mind around this. In 10 minutes, he ate 83 hot dogs.
Okay, was he eating the fake hot dogs, though? that he was sponsoring?
Well, aren't they the same size hot dog? What's wrong with these?
Like,
fake hot dogs?
I got questions.
Well, Google the hot dogs. We'll look it up while we get ready for Fishman. We'll have Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. You have heard us talk a lot about FanDuel. Right now, they're doing something different over at FanDuel. Through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Listen, we had some TV issues over the weekend. We had some definite TV issues.
Still have them going on right now.
Still going on right now. You've got, again, through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers, not just new ones, bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with the YouTube base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account, current form of payment. You can cancel anytime. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Fish on Friday. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins us. Now, Charles, how are you?
It is spectacular. We woke up this morning and it was 58. Degrees.
Same here. A little snap in the air. I bet you and Trish are thinking this is football season. That's what you think.
That is certainly what we're thinking. What I was thinking when I came downstairs is, I'm going to have to start holding the line against heat.
Air conditioning battle is one now heat. All right. So one of the things we talked about within the past year was how the anti-shoplifting stuff has you walk into a store now and you can't buy, you know, you got the razor blades are locked up and all of that. And we're just the extraordinary efforts. At some point we were talking about theft, shrinkage, or whatever they call it in the store universe.
Yeah, they call it shrinkage. Yeah.
And now we have, I don't know if there's some data, but now there seems to be this, an update, an understanding that this is actually not great for anybody. What have we learned?
Well, it's funny. I wouldn't call it a backlash, because a backlash implies there was ever anybody who thought this was a good
idea, right? I mean, we don't live, we live in the city of Washington. We are in the city limits, but we are not in the urban core of the city. And our CVS stores have deodorant, razor blades, laundry detergent. And there was a big Bloomberg story. It was probably 2 weeks ago. The headline of which was essentially shoplifting, anti-shoplifting efforts ruin shopping. And you sort of zeroed in on it, and it's absolutely true, right? The good stores, the good Walgreens and CVS now have a little button on the shelf. You press the red button, and a staff member is supposed to appear to unlock the cabinets. In practice, you got to go aisle to aisle looking for somebody. How many people are in the aisles of a CVS? I almost never see an employee in the aisle of CVS. They're at the front or they're at the pharmacy. I want to grab my Sure deodorant. I want to grab my razor blades. I want to grab my jug of Tide detergent. I don't want to wait for somebody. You could easily, like, the whole point of a CVS or a Walgreens is I'm in, I'm out, right? It takes 2 seconds. If I want to stand around, I can go to Walmart, right? That's where the time goes. Literally the thing people complain, the number one complaint at Walmart is how long it takes to walk from my car to the store, right? Farther than the entire space in a CVS. This is an interesting arena. Quote-unquote shrink is so important to target Walmart. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, there was a huge scandal because the Tampa Bay Times, the old St. Pete Times, did a study, an analysis, and established that 48% of all police calls in the Tampa Bay metro area, almost half of every police incident, was Walmart requesting the police for a shoplift. It's insane. And then 20 municipalities across the country, their local journalism outlets, TV stations, or newspapers did the same study. And I was called by almost all of them. And so there's a magazine called Loss Prevention Magazine. That's how important this is. But locking everything up in this day and age just means I buy it from Amazon. Just means I buy it from Walmart.com. Both of which are really easy. And also, by the way, once I buy my laundry detergent, which it's ridiculous to ship laundry detergent
right through one the mail. Bottle of,
right. My razor blade.
Once you do it once, you're going to do it forever. You're never going to go back to buying
it's
your laundry.
It's so easy. Yeah. Right, exactly. So it's really cutting off your nose to spite your face. So I think it's true. The Bloomberg story in some ways was just terrible because it had no data in it. It just had the reporter following shoppers around and following employees around as they tried to help the shoppers. And the employees complained, what a pain in the ass this
there was
is.
A new one. There was a new one for me when I was driving home for the football game. I stopped to get an icy. This was at 11:30 at night or something. I stopped to get an icy at a 7-Eleven. They had the beer all locked up. And so And I thought it was because, well, I might be too late. Can't buy a beer after 11:30 or something. And I saw someone over there trying to buy a beer. No, they lock it up because people just walk in the store and buy a takeout. Who the hell is going to wait? There's one guy working behind the counter at the 7-Eleven. Right. Crazy.
But at the same time, at 11:45 at night, if somebody walks in and grabs
a
12-pack, what's the guy behind the counter going to do? So this is important. The one factoid the Bloomberg story had was that security companies estimate that locking the stuff up causes your sales to fall between 15 and 25%. The margin of a CVS, the profit margin at a store like that, is 3%. So you're literally killing yourself. Here's what the theft numbers are, just so you understand.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
About the retail economy in the United States is $7 trillion. $7 trillion, and the theft is 1.5%. Now, most of the theft goes out the back door. Organized theft by employees before the stuff hits the shelves. 70%. That's documented.
It's funny when I did a story on Superload. That's exactly what they said. The issue
has always been more employee theft than outs. Than
you
than
don't see videos of the employees
walking
swirling
out
away the expensive stuff and stealing it, but that's where it goes. But what is 1.5%? It's $112 billion in theft a year. Total sales at Target, $106 billion. More is stolen every year than the entire operation of Target. So That's
all right, we got to do a speed round now, Charles. We're going to do a speed round. We'll set the timer for 1 minute. We got so many things to get to. We're going to give you 1 minute on each of these various topics, and we will start
Are you going to call the topic for me?
I'm going to call the topic, and then you will expound, and we'll after 1 minute, you will be cut off. There's not going to be a ticking clock, but there is going to be a loud horn. Is it a horn, Jeffrey?
Yeah, there's a buzzer at the end.
It's like a ringer.
You will know, is what I'm saying.
Very
all right, here
unnerving.
We go.
Very unnerving.
In the New York City bus system, fare skippers, 48% of the people who ride the buses don't pay a fare.
Yeah, this is, to me, related exactly to the shoplifting. It's the same thing. Who's going to stop me from stealing the Maybelline makeup where each little tube costs $28? People get on the buses and don't pay. There's no gate. There's no turnstile. Bus drivers have been told by their union not to try and enforce the fare, which is $2.90. And so since the pandemic, 48% of New York City bus riders documented not to pay $3 million a day. And it sort of, you said, it sort of makes you feel like a chump if you do pay.
Peter, my son Peter said when he pays on the bus, he feels like a chump.
3 days after this huge New York Times story, the New York City MTA, the Metropolitan Transit, starts a massive enforcement effort. The New York Times shows up. There's 8 cops and 8 MTA employees for one bus route. And
we'll give you a little extra time.
They gave 2 tickets, and both people cried for getting a ticket.
Good for them.
And people shouted at the cops, you're making the bus ride slow down.
Is this, by the way, is the problem here a lack of lawlessness in our society and a lack of civility and wherever else it is, a lack of the breakdown of the social structure? Or is it everyone's armed and so you can't stop people from doing this stuff anymore? Is it guns? Is it lawless? What is happening here? Do you have any opinion? COVID accelerated all of it, by the way.
Right, a combination of things. People are stealing Maybelline makeup to resell it and make money. People aren't dodging the bus fare because, no offense, because they can't afford $2.90. No, if they're going to work, it's we can get away with it, and no one's. How do you enforce it? It's the opposite. You enforce it with
but
social norms.
I always used to. The guy used to say, "We got to pay the money here. We aren't going. You know, whatever." I used to.
We're not leaving. We're not moving.
Yeah, we're not
pay.
Moving until you pay. Like it just used to be. Now they. We don't want to ask people to do that.
Nobody wants to be.
Yeah. Okay, next one. We're not being rigorous here. Okay, Taylor Swift concert in Vienna was canceled because of a terrorist plot. What have we learned?
Last week, we learned how they discovered the terrorist plot. The CIA in Langley figured out that there was a plan to attack Taylor Swift's 3 concerts in Vienna. They have done this before. They figured out that there were going to be attacks in Russia, that there was going to be an attack in Russia. Then there was an attack on that theater. They figured out there was going to be an attack on Iran, not exactly a friend of the United States. And the CIA warned Iranian officials about that attack, also not prevented. The CIA notified Austrian security officials. They moved quickly. They arrested people. Whatever it was, August 7th, the day before the concerts, they arrested 2, then they arrested another one. This was announced by the deputy director of the CIA at a international security conference in Washington late last week. He said that it was possible hundreds of people would have been killed. One last quote that the deputy director, David Cohen, said, "We thought it was a really good day at the office for the CIA and not just for the Swifties in our workforce."
This headline surprised me, this next item. You say Capri Sun pouches, will they survive or not? I didn't know Capri Sun pouches were in danger.
God, I hate these. Did you like these or hate these when you had kids?
I didn't like them, but right. I don't know that I
hate them because they make a mess.
They do make a mess.
And I hate them because the pouches themselves
will outlast not just the lives of your children, but their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. They're terrible. A big blogger called Snackalator, who has an Instagram following of 420,000, produced a little item showing new Capri Sun bottles, 12-ounce bottles, and he didn't say whether or not they were replacing the pouches, and it just went crazy last week with people saying, oh, my God, Capri Sun's eliminating the pouch. So much that Capri Sun issued an official statement. People magazine wrote about this. Good Morning America did a segment. The pouch is here to stay. We would never disrespect the pouch. The bottles are coming, but the bottles.
It's not like, by the way, it's not like a bottle is an innovation. Well, why keep the pouch when we've invented bottles? Bottles preceded the pouch. Why did the pouch ever exist? I guess it's because you can smush more of them together.
Is convenient.
Serving
size. It's
easy.
It's fun. And they're easy to produce. I think if you think about pouches versus bottles, plus the pouches have half the volume. It's hard to produce a 6
right.
ounce
so
drink
that's
bottle.
Right. Right.
Right.
Okay.
They're aimed at kids.
Red Lobster. We like to keep up with Red Lobster here. What's the Red Lobster news?
Bad news. Red Lobster closed 23 more restaurants last week, down to 544. But they still have restaurants across Tennessee. 544. They still have one just a few miles from our house. If you have Red Lobster nostalgia, the really interesting news last week was they have named a new CEO, a guy named Damola Adamolakin. Damola Adamolakin.
Easy for you to say. Yep.
Nigerian, moved to the U.S., was the CEO of P.F. Chang's at age 32. And he's a hedge fund, investment fund veteran, Goldman Sachs. And he turned around P.F. Chang's in the middle of the pandemic. And so he works for the hedge fund that bought Red Lobster. People are excited. You can imagine that Red Lobster could actually be well run and could become hip. We did learn one other thing. Red Lobster ended up, before it went bankrupt and in the hands of a new hedge fund, was owned by its own seafood supplier.
By its own what?
Thai Union Seafood. It was owned by its seafood
the
supplier
lobster.
In Thailand, and they couldn't figure out how to run the restaurant, so they have sold out to a hedge fund. I'm looking forward to the P.F. Changing of Red Lobster.
Gen Zers, we got news about Gen Z. What is Gen Z anyway? I ask you these questions. You don't
I think
know
Gen
the answer
Z
to.
Is technically born 1996 to 2012. So your kids are Gen Z. My kids are Gen
okay,
Z.
Okay, what have we learned about those wonderful Gen
Anybody
Zers in our life?
10 or older. There was a study by a payroll provider, a company that does payroll services. Sick days are up dramatically since 2019, and the people who are taking them are under 36.
This doesn't speak well for
over 36
our. This doesn't speak.
Taken,
oh, maybe it does speak well for Gen Zers. They're tuned
well,
into their health.
Yeah, it depends
you know?
On your perspective. Their attitude
they're
is
soft. They're soft. They're whiny. That's
I'm
one way to look at
sick.
It.
I'm calling in sick. If I feel like I don't want to go to work, that's sick. Sick days from Gen Zers are up 29% since 2019.
Yeah, the argument would be is that they should stay away when they're sick and they're mindful of their health, Charles. We can spin this either way. I'm sorry, I interrupted the data. Go ahead.
Sick days for under 36 up 29%, over 36 up 16%. So what's interesting is it's a window. They're creating a window for everybody to take more sick days.
Hotel workers. We got hotel workers?
Hotel workers are on strike across America. Very strategic strike. They did not walk out everywhere. It's a union, a famous union called Unite Here. It actually started, I believe, as a clothing makers union, a seamstresses union. They're on strike in 9 cities, including adding Baltimore today. 10,000 workers have walked out of 25 hotels. And they say that since the pandemic, their pay has not gone up. Profits at the big hotel chains, all-time high. And their conditions have suffered because, like, we don't get room service anymore. We don't get
housekeeping except when we check out. You're going to clean my room once I leave. But also they've cut back staff. So the remaining staff, even though there's less work, end up working harder. Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott are the chains targeted. Their contract has expired. Those chains have said, we want a contract. They are being calm and conciliatory, which is interesting. Here's the data point. A housekeeper at the Hilton Inner Harbor in Baltimore makes $16.20 an hour. A grown-ass adult getting paid $16.20 an hour.
Here's the thing,
they want 20.
At a time when everyone gets tipped for everything, for bringing me an empty coffee cup that I can fill up myself at Panera.
I'm handing it to you. Right.
Hotel workers do real work.
Labor.
And we used to talk to GP about this, and people have they've forgotten that those people should be tipped because they don't have a screen to flip around in.
They haven't forgotten. There's no culture around.
There's no culture around tipping.
We always tip the hotel housekeeper. I think they work really hard. They do a nice job.
Chick-fil-A? New Chick-fil-A news?
This is crazy. I got to say, this is the craziest story. In a crazy week, it's the craziest story of the week. Chick-fil-A is going to launch to go up against Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Paramount, Disney. Chick-fil-A is launching its own streaming service. This was a scoop from Deadline.com, and they actually found the producing companies that have already been contracted to do shows for the Chick-fil-A streaming service set to launch at the end of this year. I don't understand the economics. The budget is $400,000 an episode. One of them is going to be a game show of some kind. You're paying $4 million
Here's
to have
the
game show?
You're not going to be able to watch it on Sunday. It's going to go dark on Sunday.
Dark on Sunday. No caffeine in those shows. I don't understand what the business reasoning is. Why would you want to watch
Depends
a Chick-fil-A.
Maybe it'll be culturally, you know, I don't know.
I think it's new advertising.
I think
it's a new form of advertising.
It's just
I think this is kind of the next step of when we went from like social media, like the targeted ads, like on Instagram and whatnot. I think this is the next step. You just do in-house marketing.
Let me wrap up though before we get finished with last thing, because I did have this question. So Boar's Head, there's been a Listeria, is that what it is? Outbreak
that
with
is it.
Boar's
that
Head.
That's really terrible.
I have to think, when I think of Boar's Head, I think, all right, there's all these skeevy meat companies, but Boar's Head, like, that's the Cadillac. That's what.
Right.
And people are dying from eating Boar's Head?
Boar's Head and Hebrew National are kind of the top of the heap. Nine people have died from Listeria infections in the last 6 months. 57 people hospitalized, and the plant is in Virginia, Jared, Virginia. Boar's Head is to blame, but the plant, like all these meat plants, has USDA, federal inspectors, on site all the time. What was infected, they've recalled 50 products. Listeria is so dangerous that as soon as it's detected, that product is immediately recalled. Took them a while to figure it out, unfortunately. Liverwurst. They zeroed in on liverwurst because everybody who died was over 70. And they thought, it's got to be a deli meat that older people like. I got to say, I've never had liverwurst in my entire life.
Never sounded any.
But that, imagine losing your grandmother grandfather to a
liverwurst. Well, you know, she died. The good news is they died doing what they love.
Mm-hmm. Eating liverwurst.
You know,
eating a bagel with liverwurst.
That's how she would want it to go. That's how she wanted to go.
By the way, one plant of hundreds, that's why we rely on the federal government. Because this stuff is dangerous, and you do not want your deli meat to kill you.
No.
And it might.
There's a lesson. We'll leave you with that lesson, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Charles. On Twitter or X.
Have a good week.
Steve Fishman, you do not want your deli meat to kill you. Jeffrey, what is next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jeff is going to join them today. Tim Murray joins us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Tuesdays and Fridays, we'll talk some football. It's Tuesday, so Jeff will also join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.